Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Did the right team win the Super Bowl? And what went wrong for the Rams?
Oh, the right team won. I mean, the composure they showed, the defense that they showed, and you mentioned it. I think they have some really good defensive players. I think they got some good guys in the secondary, and I think they, you know, you talk about Hightower and Trey Flowers was all over the place, made tons of plays, and I think that they just put on a clinic. And you mentioned the brain. I like that idea. I like the idea that even when Bill is gone, they download his consciousness and leave him on the sidelines, you know, 50, 60 years from now, and he just outthinks everyone. It was a masterclass in coaching. And Belichick outcoached his rival. And it was the great offensive mind and bring me, you know, find me Sean McVay. We must find the next Sean McVay. We'll never find another Bill Belichick. I mean, that guy is just unbelievable, and I thought the game plan was fantastic. They did a great job with it, and what went wrong for the Rams was the coaching of the New England Patriots. They did things that they weren't expecting to see, and they didn't have an answer for, and they were confounded by it. So when you're out-coached, you're out-coached. The right team won the Super Bowl. It was the coach of the century against the young up-and-coming whippersnapper, and the old man put on a lesson for him.
Yeah, I felt the wrong team was at the Super Bowl in the NFC. I felt like the Rams didn't belong to as much as the Saints did.
What would the result have been?
I don't know that it would have been I don't think it would have been the lowest scoring Super Bowl ever. I think it would have been different. Probably would have been closer. I don't think that Sean Payton and I don't think that Drew Brees would have been intimidated or overwhelmed by the stage to the degree that Sean McVay and Jared Goff were. Teams are a reflection of their coach. And on the biggest stage of his life, I think Sean McVay showed some anxiety. I think that he and his team sort of followed suit. This was a team that was outcoached. They were outclassed. And it was an offense that didn't show up. You look at 27 of the 60 offensive plays that the Rams ran went for zero or fewer yards. This is an offense that came in one of the more, you know, with reputation and results to back up that reputation for being high-flying and aggressive. And what did we say on Friday? Sean McVay, he's got to take shots downfield. This is a guy that's going to be aggressive. He's not going to be intimidated at all by coaching against Belichick. Where was that aggression? Where was the innovation? Where was the flea flicker? Where was the fake punt? Where was the play that made you say, wow, there was none of that? Because they were too busy trying to figure out, boy, that man defense turned into his own pretty quickly. How did they do that? Boy, why do they have seven guys in the box? I've never seen that run defense before. Boy, how do we block that stunt? They were overwhelmed. They were paralyzed. And I feel like, yeah, the right team won the Super Bowl because that's what the Patriots do when they're against a coach who's overmatched. And Bill Belichick won that battle.
The right team definitely won the Super Bowl. We wanted the run to be over. A lot of us did, and people take their shots. Oh, they just cruise through the regular season in a very easy division, and that may be the case. But they dominated the Chargers. They went to Arrowhead and won, and then they took down the Rams early on in the season. Many people picked them to go on and win the Super Bowl. What was the problem with L.A.? Well, 3 points. That's a problem. Here's the coolest nugget that I saw last night. A bettor walked into the South Point, $250 on the Rams to score 3 points, and he won $100,000. How do you predict something like that? But golf was an issue during the game. I'm seeing people say, oh, Trubisky's better than Goff. Stop. Just stop. Win a playoff game at home first, and then we can start to engage in that conversation. Maybe win at the Superdome, too. One of the biggest issues for the Rams also, Todd Gurley. Either McVay's stupid or he's a liar. So I think he's just lying. They haven't placed him on the injury report this time at all. He had only 10 rushes. They were going with C.J. Anderson instead. The guy is clearly hurt, so I'm interested to see if the NFL does anything about that.
If he has surgery, they're getting fined.
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, what is that? Does it really do much?
No, but I think it will confirm what everybody suspects, is that this guy's got to be hurt.
Has to be.
Or else
otherwise, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to argue that the wrong team won. I mean, it was pretty much total domination from the jump, outside of that early interception by Brady, which didn't really matter because the LA Rams, Jared Goff, Sean McVay, all of the above just couldn't do a damn thing. And really, after I had a little bit more time to let this marinate a little bit, it gave me a little bit more appreciation for Nick Foles and Doug Peterson, what they were able to do last season. I mean, that was one of the all-time great Super Bowls, where Nick Foles, you know, the backup, the great story, and just the coolest guy in the entire stadium, just not folding under the pressure at all, rising to the occasion. Doug Peterson pulling all the rabbits out of his hats. And then yesterday, I sort of expected the same thing with L.A. You know, it's kind of the same model that they have there with that offense and the young quarterback and just nothing doing whatsoever. So they're still here, another title. I assume the gang's coming back here, and they're going to be right there in contention again. It's just, it's unbelievable the sustained success of this Patriots franchise. And for all the talk about how we want to see greatness, we want to see history, well, this is the epitome of it right here.
Yeah, of course the right team won, unless the idea of the question is to say that the Rams shouldn't have been there in the first place. And I agree, like in hindsight, if there was a Saints Patriots Super Bowl, we would not be here right now talking about the lowest scoring game ever. What has Sean McVay done over the last 2 weeks? Where was, as you guys talked about in the first segment in the beginning, where was the innovation? Where was a fake? Where was anything? There was nothing fancy, nothing different. I mean, there's got to be some type of an adjustment. Now, I also do want to credit, you know, as well as the Patriots played on defense, the Rams played pretty darn well on defense too. So let's not forget that they were pretty special also last night. I thought especially in the first half, I thought they were really, really good. What went wrong for the Rams? Everything. And this was the experience. This was one time where the experience was just overwhelmed. And Belichick, the way the TV shot it, I kept feeling like Belichick was just staring across the field at Sean McVay. Like you want
game?
Some of this? You barely saw his lips move. And just if you go back and watch the game, it's like he's just staring across the field like, come and get it, buddy. Come and I know I sent you some text messages. People joked about that, like Godfather-ish, right? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer kind of thing. I mean, he was just in
just staring
his
him
head.
Down.
Just a stare down.
I must break you.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's a good question, man, and a timely one.
Does the Rams losing the Super Bowl help or hurt the Bears? Will they suffer a hangover or be more motivated than ever before?
I don't think the Rams' mindset has one iota of impact on the Bears at all. I think next season's Bears season is all about the Bears. It's how they respond to their own failure, how they respond to falling short and feeling like they're one kicker away from being in the Super Bowl. And it's a good argument to make, and it's one that is not difficult to believe, especially after watching the Rams last night. I think last night, first of all, through the Chicago prism, you know, the Rams losing the Super Bowl the way that they did to the Patriots in a 13-3 game, 13-3, it still says that defense represents a viable path to winning a championship in today's NFL. You can still win a championship by out-scheming somebody defensively by having or and more along the lines of what the Bears maybe have, having superior talent defensively, and so you can dominate an offense. Secondly, I think it also reinforced the idea that expecting a young quarterback such as Jared Goff to take you to the promised land, it means dealing with bouts of inconsistency that only experience can cure. That's the only way that Jared Goff and Mitch Trubisky are going to get to that point. So I think those are the two big picture ideas you take away that kind of reinforced ideas for the Bears. The other thing is that you better sign Bryce Callahan. That's a priority. You need a nickel cornerback you can trust in this league to win big games, because last night Julian Edelman reminded the league why that's so important, because he was the biggest factor in the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think we don't know yet. I know that the odds came out this morning, and there are, what, two NFC teams ahead of the Bears, the final two teams in the NFC, both the Saints and, of course, the Rams are the two teams. So the Rams, does losing the Super Bowl mean that they're going to have a hangover, or does it fire them up? I mean, are they still ahead of the Bears given the way they played? You know, I think one of the takeaways is, you're right, David, that the defense – wins championships, because guess what? The over-under of the game was 56 points, and the teams combined for 16. 16 combined points in a football game. And I know there were a couple of missed field goals, but that doesn't get you to the point where you're supposed to be. I think it's really interesting. I think that the Bears, we're looking at them next year is about the Bears. The Rams, they have decisions. You know, they gave Ndamukong Suh a one-year prove-it contract. What do you do with him? How did he play? Did he make your team better? Where was playoff Sue in this game?
He had one hit, though. His forearm, just tackled the running back.
I'm just saying. That was a huge hit, but yeah. Playoff Sue on display? I really thought that he could be a guy that could ruin the game a little bit, because I thought they would be very concerned about Aaron Donald. And you know, again, they only allowed 13 points, so you can't pick apart their defense. But there are decisions to be made with every team, including the Bears. And the Bryce Callahan takeaway is a good one, David. I think that the Bears need more. They're not there yet. And it'll be very interesting. We'll get to one of the possibilities a couple of questions from now. But, I think the Bears need more.
I don't see how this helps or hurts the Bears. Last night's the result of that one. I mean, dynasty is so difficult in this league outside of the Patriots, of course. But go back a year ago. So the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, an NFC team. How did that affect the Bears when they had a great season? I don't think it really did. I know they had the Super Bowl experience when they ended up facing the Bears in the playoffs, but I think it's really, I agree with you guys, it's all about the Bears. The offense and Trubisky must improve. They're probably not going to stay as healthy. So I don't know if it's going to be a hangover, but they're going to have their challenges. It's going to be a tougher schedule. Play the Chiefs, Rams, Chargers, Saints. They're not going to be sneaking up on anyone. So if maybe we're going to end up calling it a hangover, but it's going to be much tougher next season.
It's always tougher to sustain your success. I mean, you even saw with Philadelphia this year, they had to kind of scratch and claw just to get back into the playoffs. And, you know, you might expect something like that with the Rams next season. And all year long, and I know last night wasn't an away game technically, but when you take them out of Los Angeles, they were a completely different team all season long. So they're going to have tougher opponents next year. They're going to have tougher games on the road. That's a pretty decent division. I would expect them to take a step back next season. I don't think they're going to go 3-13 or anything like that and completely flip around, but I don't think you're going to see them dominate in the fashion that they did this season. As far as the Bears are concerned, I think it probably helps them a little bit just because of the regression that I'm anticipating from Los Angeles, but at the same time, the Bears might regress too. You know, they have to keep up with everybody else in the league, just like every other team, not only in the NFC, but all over the NFL. So it's always just who can stay consistent, who can stay one step ahead, and that goes for L.A., that goes for New Orleans, that goes for New England, that goes for the Bears, that goes for everybody.
I think this is going to leave a mark. I think this is going to linger. I think it's going to be very hard for Jared Goff to bounce back. I'm very curious as to what exactly is going on with Todd Gurley. Is this an issue between Todd and McVay? Is this an effort thing? Was something said?
It's a knee.
think it's just a knee?
I think it's a knee.
Okay. Well, we're going to find
out. Don't you?
I think
you saw when he got that one run where he got a little momentum, you saw that was not the same runner.
The last couple games, they kept saying he's working out his knee on the sideline, working out his knee.
And as well as that offensive line played against the Cowboys, okay, and then against the Saints, they looked old last night. It looked like they had enjoyed a lot of prime rib or whatever down in Atlanta. They looked old. They looked slow. I mean, the right guard is an absolute dog. I mean, that guy got his ass kicked all night long, okay? I mean, I never expected the Patriots to hit Goff as many times as they did last night. My point is that offensive line's not getting any younger. And as far as how it goes to the Bears, I think the Bears are motivated by what happened. They're ticked, and if they were now the question is, we've talked to guys and they get ticked off about this every year that they claim they don't watch. Now Matt Nagy told us he watches, okay, and I think these younger Bears watched, and if they watched, I think they could say, wow, this year, I know everything went right for them this year, but boy, the Bears would have put up a much better effort than the Rams last night.
That's a good
point. So they should be motivated. Like, if they just had a kicker who wasn't a dope, okay, they could have at least put up a game, a way more entertaining game than the Rams. I'm not saying they could have beaten the Patriots because they lost to the Patriots at home this year, but I think this should be motivation that we can do this.
And a year ago, they had no reason to watch because they were so far away.
No reason to believe. They are closer than ever.
Yeah.
You got to have answers to those questions, and they have to be with a lot of conviction.
If the NFL is a copycat league, what will be the takeaway from the Patriots beating the Rams by a score of 13-3?
Yeah, it's very interesting because I think the takeaways are that There's a team out there that is a danger to win the Super Bowl every year for as long as the coach and the quarterback are together. And I don't know how much longer that is, but I guess if you really stop and think about how hard it is to win a Super Bowl, you look at this is a guy, a 33-year-old head coach, who's everybody wants to copy him, everybody wants a piece of him. How long will it take him to win a Super Bowl, right? I mean, he would have been the youngest ever coach to win a Super Bowl. I believe Mike Tomlin was 36 when he won. And the idea that you're going to have to do it in the next couple of seasons in order to get that record, will he do it? Can he achieve that? I don't think it has anything to do with the quality of his coaching. It has to do with the opponent in that game. I mean, he just got out-coached because he faced a significantly better coach who came up with an unbelievable game plan. I don't know that we see that happen all the time in Super Bowls. I know we've seen Belichick do it before, but I don't know that we've seen it enough. And I wonder, you mentioned their defense. They have one Pro Bowl player on their defense. They don't have six or seven. They have one. And they nonetheless held the team to 3 points in the biggest game of the year, a team that had set records for their offense at one point in the season. So it's really difficult to win a Super Bowl. And when you start talking about what has to happen and how you copy it, I think you have to just keep getting better and keep loading up. And I think for the Bears, they're more following the game plan of what we saw from the Rams than they are with the Patriots.
Yeah.
Because no one can copy that.
Right.
I don't know how you get that together.
How do you clone a brain?
You can't.
You don't. That's a really good point. See, I think that if you're going to strain for a takeaway, the only takeaway would be that there's defensive coordinators, 30 other guys watching that last night, or general managers, and saying, okay, you know, you look at the Patriots and the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and you don't have a big star. You don't have to overpay guys at certain positions to get that good, because all you need is a good scheme, a committed group of players, and the right coaching staff, and we can coach our way to, you know, success. But look, you've got a Patriots team under Belichick with 6 Super Bowls in a salary cap era. It could be the greatest dynasty in all of sports because of just how it happened and the fact that the cap creates parity that's enforced by the league. And here you are. They have the Patriots doing what they've done and going to 3 straight Super Bowls. So you have – that's the difficult thing to duplicate. That's the exception to every rule. So I don't know that there's a big takeaway there. From the Rams standpoint, I think the takeaway is – you know, you you uh, you wonder if all the credit that we were giving Sean McVay and we're sort of anointing him before the championship. Now I'm wondering, he had such a bad night. You wonder if one of the McVay knockoffs, one of the guys who's hiring because of his association with McVay, will that guy win a Super Bowl before McVay does? I don't know, but you have to wonder after last night.
It is a copycat league, and yeah, with you guys, the McVay angle really jumps out. Okay, are you sure that you're looking for the next Sean McVay? Are you sure, Green Bay, you go and get Matt LaFleur? And even though he doesn't have direct ties, it's the same idea with Arizona. Get the young offensive mind and Cliff Kingsbury, Cleveland with Freddie Kitchens, too. But I'm going to bring up Gurley again also because we saw down the stretch the struggles with this offense. Is it showing the importance of defense? A defense can win championships in the playoffs? Or just how crucial a healthy Todd Gurley is to this offense. I mean, we devalue running backs now, but that guy is special. And when you don't have him rolling, look at what they are.
I mean, there's only one Bill Belichick. Like you guys said, you can't clone a brain or a football coach. This guy is a total evil genius. He's one in a billion. You're not going to be able to copycat what he's been able to do in New England over this past almost two decades now. It's really crazy if you think about how he's been able to, not only from a play-calling perspective and from a scheming perspective, but, I mean, he's essentially the general manager there. He is in charge of everything. The way that he's been able to work the cap and pick up guys that have been cast away from other teams, there's just not any more Bill Belichick. So as much as it is a copycat league and teams will try to latch on to what's hot or what's successful at that current time, you know, you're just not going to be able to do it. And I don't think this is going to be a referendum on offense and young offensive minds like McVay's and Nagy's and maybe LaFleur's. Who the hell else knows what else is going to happen in terms of head coaching hires. But if you're going to try to copycat what the Patriots have done, you're out of luck because it's completely impossible. You can't do it.
Yeah, I agree. It's very, very hard to copycat what Belichick does. It's pretty amazing. But I was watching the post game on the Four Letter Network last night, and they actually had a smiling, happy, like if you get the Bill Belichick that you had at that point, you'd actually have a whole different opinion of that guy. Like last night, every time after they win a Super Bowl, he becomes a human being for about 60 minutes, right? Anyway, he was asked, I believe, by
he had his granddaughter with him.
Right. Yeah. She is very special. That's what he said. wouldn't admit like granddaughter or anything, but she is very special. But anyway, they asked if he had taken anything away from the Bears game plan. Belichick was asked.
Yeah.
And he didn't exactly say yes, but kind of sort of did. So there's lots of copycat, right? There's lots of, and it worked out. Listen, you know, you look at that side of the ball on the Patriots, okay? Like, who are the Hall of Famers? Who are the guys you'd rather have starting on that defense than on the Bears defense, right? I mean, it's not a who's who, a name. He's outstanding. God bless. I hope this isn't the end of it. And if it is, remember, as much as you didn't like it last night, and I get why people didn't like that game, but you got to go back and really think about it. I mean, we are seeing an unbelievable coaching genius in front of us right now, and you have to enjoy that.
Any other questions?
What do you make of the report? The Patriots believe Rob Gronkowski's injury-riddled season was caused by his adherence to the TB12 method.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's amusing more than anything. I don't make much of it. What's not to like about Rob Gronkowski in the way that his season ended? What's a better method? The Julian Edelman method? Get suspended 4 games for using PEDs, come back and win the Super Bowl MVP. If they are actually trying to tweak him by suggesting that the TB12 method contributed to his injuries, maybe that's explained some of the odd friction you hear, the undercurrents about, you know, what's he going to do next. Sounds like it's noise. He's got another Super Bowl ring. He was a big factor in that game. He was a big factor in the postseason. He was a mismatch issue against the Chiefs, and he came up with the biggest catch of the game. I thought yesterday that 29-yard pass, which Brady threw between 3 Rams, that was a beautiful play. Gronk still matters. If he wants to come back, I don't know that they would say no. I don't know that they would necessarily welcome all that comes with that. But what comes with all the baggage is the fact that this is a guy that makes a difference when it matters. So, yeah, I think that's amusing because that's still one of those storylines that won't go away. But I didn't read too much into it.
I think what I read into it is that the TB12 method may work for quarterbacks and not for tight ends. They're completely different positions, and they really believe that he showed up in camp and was slower, had less strength, and was not explosive. And they believe that those three elements combined to create some of these injuries. He had a very difficult season with all sorts of injuries as a result, maybe, of not working out with the team and trying to work out in a conventional football way. And I'm not joking about that. I think maybe a tight end who has to block and has to work the seam and has to do different things than a quarterback does, maybe that isn't the greatest way of getting yourself into top shape for football. You know, perhaps Tom has stumbled upon some fountain of youth that works for quarterbacks but might not work for all football players. That kind of was my takeaway. I think that, you know, Gronk's a young guy. I mean, Gronk is, how old is Gronk, 29? He's not quite 30 yet, and he's just been beaten to hell. And part of it may be that he wasn't in the kind of football shape you need to play NFL football at the line of scrimmage. And perhaps that is what they're really driving at for all the guys that are adhering to the TB12 method.
Could that have anything to do with his off-season regimen or his off-season off-the-field
activities? Well, I mean, that's the other element of it too, right? I mean, is he partying and is he, you know, listen, the guy's gotten a hell of a lot out of his career, but he's beaten up pretty badly. And it's, you know, when you start measuring Hall of Fame statistics, Hall of Fame eligibility, how good a guy is, you got to take into account how long he can play. I thought what was interesting is Edelman, his numbers are so good in the playoffs. There was a conversation after the game that he's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. And that kind of surprised me because
I don't know that I would agree
with that. But when you look at the numbers, he's been unbelievable in the postseason. He's playing with the greatest quarterback ever.
We need to get back to that.
So that's an interesting argument you hear from both ways. And, you know, if you say Julian Edelman Hall of Fame, I don't if that's the measure, you go like, what? If you say Gronk Hall of Fame, most people will be like, yeah, oh, yeah. But look at the numbers. It's a little bit, you know, Gronk, again, he doesn't have the length of career that you usually see out of guys that end up in Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think that's why this is a little crazy here, because look at Gronk's injury history.
Yeah.
We've seen concussion. You're going to blame that on Alex Guerrero. Chest injuries, hamstrings, he's missed time. Backs, ankles, knee, he had an ACL and an MCL. He's missed time with the forearm. So, listen, the relationship is quite odd here with Brady and Alex Guerrero and the Patriots. He used to be able to fly with the team, and then he wasn't allowed to fly. And then anytime Brady's asked a question about Alex Guerrero's relationship with the team, he refuses to talk about it, doesn't want to answer. I've heard him hang up the phone on interviews when Alex Guerrero would come up. So I think this is an easy thing for the Patriots to say, because they clearly do not like the guy and they don't want him around the team at all.
This is an amusing story. I don't know how much stock I put into it. Joe, like you just mentioned, Gronk hasn't played a full season since 2011. I don't think he's been on the TB12 regimen for the last, you know, 8 years. So that could be just a coincidence. And I hope you guys talk more about the Julian Edelman thing, people talking about how he's a Hall of Famer, when he literally served a PED suspension this season, yet, you know, and I know it's a different sport, but Barry Bonds isn't in the Hall of Fame. The double standard,
it's absurd,
is insane to
it
me.
Is.
I don't understand it at all. Like I said, I hope you guys get into it a little bit more later, because it just, I can't wrap my head around it at all.
Yeah, we'll save that one with Edelman. It's interesting. As far as Gronk goes, maybe there's something to it. I think this is more of a stirring the pot thing, trying to put a divide between Gronkowski and Brady and the team and TB12. And to your point, Mully, I mean, it's a completely different position.
Yep.
I mean, Brady barely gets breathed on, let alone hit, right? So, I mean, very, 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 very different.
That is an unbelievably great question.
What did you make of Allen Robinson saying the Bears would welcome Kareem Hunt in the locker room?
I think that, again, I think that Kareem Hunt is on their radar. I think the Bears are probably, if you were laying book on where he ends up, I think the Bears are probably number one on that list just because of his relationship with the quarterback. There's a couple of things here. You know, nobody has signed this guy. He is eligible. Anybody can sign him, and then you'll find out if there's any more coming. You're going to take a massive PR hit. People are going to be mad at you for doing this sort of thing. There is a video out there that is disgusting, and he lied about it to his other team, and that's why they cut him, right? Kansas City, it wasn't that he was involved in the incident. They knew about the incident. He lied about it. And so, to me, that's two chances. The one is you bring him back despite what's happened, but then to lie about it is the reason that they gave when they cut him, that he had gone into them, they'd sat down with him, and he flat out lied to them. So you got to take all of the things that are out there into account. Now, from a football standpoint, does he make you better? He makes you better, and he's cheap. Those are two things that you love from a football standpoint. He makes you significantly better, and he's dirt cheap. So I can understand why you'd want him, but you're going to take a massive hit, and there will be people that really believe you, that will not want you to win. You know, there are people out there that didn't want New England to win because of their politics. I mean, that's where we're at. Imagine if you put something like that out on the field, a guy that with a videotape that everybody can go
and videotape. George hasn't seen the videotape.
Well, somebody,
he's not gonna watch
somebody
the videotape.
Better look at it.
Look, I did not like this at all. I felt like it was one of those things you look at, you read, and you cringe. In the Sun-Times the other day, Patrick Finley talked to Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's a very highly respected player in that locker room.
He's also a guy, a deep thinker. He's a really bright guy.
He's a thoughtful,
yes,
bright player. He's not a guy that you think of when you think of a low-character NFL guy. It's quite the opposite. This is a guy that represents the Bears in an exemplary way. So when he says that, it further reinforces the idea. Prepare yourself for this, Chicago. Prepare yourself for the Kareem Hunt debate. I think it's, at this point, Mully, I'd be surprised if it didn't happen, because this is not accidental. This is a player who's respected in that locker room, in the community, saying that they would embrace a player with his baggage. And to me, you know, George McCaskey saying, we're not there yet. Well, that means they're on the way to being somewhere. And they didn't say no. Ryan Pace didn't say no. Matt Nagy introduced the idea. He knows the player. He called the player within 48 hours of losing a playoff game. He called the player. So I would make of this what it is. It's further proof that the Bears highly interested in a player they believe can put them over the top. From a football perspective, he probably does. From a social perspective and a franchise perspective, keep it.
Yeah, as soon as that press conference happened, I said, okay, well, he's going to be a Bear. This is clear. But I think what Allen Robinson was trying to get across was that anybody that the second place executive of the year would sign, that this team would welcome them, no matter who the player was. That's what he was trying to say. He didn't want to go the opposite way and make those headlines and say that he would not be welcome under any circumstances. But A-Rob probably knows that it's happening.
Of course it's happening. I don't think he would say this if there wasn't so much momentum already going toward this. And I've pretty much already come to terms with the fact that it is happening. If it doesn't happen now at this point, I'm going to be really surprised. And cool, great. That's going to be a real fun guy to root for.
Well, I think when you mentioned he makes you better and he's cheap, those are two things that everybody likes. Nagy right now has all the clout in the world, not only with the fans, but with the front office and ownership, right? I mean, his star could not be higher. So I think if he really is ready to go to the mattresses, as they say, for this guy, then it's going to happen. And maybe he's already planted that seed in the locker room with a guy like Robinson, who, as you guys pointed out, very well respected, also very well thought of by management, right?
Right.
It seems to, from a wide, not your typical wide receiver type of guy, right? So all the things are lining up that this is a possibility, and it's going to cause a major, major debate.
Yeah, it's a great takeaway that when he's talking about it, it makes you think that within the locker room, they know it's going to happen, or they've been paying attention.
They've been paying attention. And it can't be overlooked that Mitch Trubisky does have a relationship with Kareem Hunt that probably factors into how players are going to view him and maybe welcome him.
And I love the text we have here. The guy says, let me get this right. The double standard is that Josh Gordon smokes pot and pretty much banned for life from the NFL.
It's fair question.
312-644-6767. What do you think of the did the right team win the Super Bowl? What went wrong for the Rams? Does the Rams losing the Super Bowl help or hurt the Bears? Will the Rams suffer a hangover or be more motivated than ever before? How will their presence affect the Bears? If the NFL is a copycat league, then what will be the takeaway from the Patriots beating the Rams 13-3? What do you make of the report that the Patriots believe Rob Gronkowski's injury-riddled season, and he may retire, was caused by his adherence to the TB12 method, TB being Tom Brady? What do you make of Allen Robinson saying the Bears would welcome Kareem Hunt into the locker room?
And did you like the halftime show?
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. You just threw in the halftime show.
Well, should I wanted to
been,
get to that.
Should that have been a 5-5
we've
question?
We've got to get to that.
It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.